This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. In the U.S., we look to Scandinavian countries sometimes for a lot of inspiration for interior design, high happiness levels, Legos, the ultra-cozy lifestyle concept called hygge. There's also a less well-known concept there that's been big for generations, friluftsliv, and it's all about embracing the outdoors no matter what the conditions are. Linda Ukesson-McGurk is a Swedish-American writer, author of the parenting memoir There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather. Her latest book is called The Open Air Life, Discover the Nordic Art of Friluftsliv and Connect with Nature Every Day. I talked with her about it last week. Can you introduce us to this concept of Friluftsliv? I've seen different translations. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, so like hygge, it really lacks an equivalent in the English language, but I tend to translate it as open air life. That's a rough translation. It's about spending time outside in the natural and cultural landscape for personal wellness, but also to experience nature without pressure to achieve or compete. And to me, that's what really sets it apart from just any outdoor recreation. There's no competition. You can just just be in nature and just be one with nature. It's a more mindful way of connecting with the natural world.
And you write that you grew up with this in Sweden. Can you talk about what that looked like in your own childhood?
Yeah. So this is really ingrained into our culture, and it starts early. It starts when we're babies, and our parents and daycare providers leave us outside to nap in the strollers. And just as you get into preschool, you also spend hours outside. And then you end up spending a lot of time with family too, just doing different friluftsliv activities like walking, hiking, camping, foraging for berries or mushrooms, cooking outside, all kinds of outdoor activities, but centered around your nearby nature. So it's very much rooted in local tradition, and it's something that is passed down from one generation to the next. So I have a lot of positive memories from spending time outside, both with my parents but also grandparents. So it's not unusual for three generations to be out walking and hiking together on the weekends and so forth. So that's how I grew up.
One thing I love about the concept, as you write about it, is I think sometimes we might think of, yeah, once this year I'm going to go on a big trip to a big national park in the west of the country, or, you know, even a long camping trip in the state park. And those are great. But you say the first step is, you know, we could be as close as our backyard or a park down the street. Tell us how to find that friluftsliv where we live.
Yeah, exactly. I think because the type of the green spaces that are near you or near your home, they're the ones that you can actually use on a daily or near daily basis, and they're going to make a huge difference to your life. So as you say, I think it's definitely great to have those big trips if you can get away to a wilder space every once in a while. That's fantastic. But try to, look around. I think we tend to forget sometimes about our local communities and the green spaces that are actually available, and try to work that sort of into your, regular routines. If you have a backyard, that's a fantastic place to start. Maybe having cookouts or even going to like a local park if you have one within walking distance. I think what friluftsliv does is that it really hones our ability to also to notice nature in all its forms, even in the city. So it helps us notice the birds, for example, because birds live everywhere, even in the city. So it puts, I think, the whole concept of nature more on a spectrum rather than it being an either or, if you see what I mean, like
sure.
In the city, too. Even the weather around us, that's part of nature too. All the forces that we can't control. So the rain that falls on our forehead, that's another way of experiencing nature, really.
And I wanted to bring that up because I've changed over my life. There was once upon a time I would say, yeah, I love getting into the outdoors if the weather's nice. Mm-hmm. And then having kids made me more willing to get out in bad weather, and COVID even more so. Your mindset, I think, and the free loose leave mindset is, there is no such thing as bad weather.
Yes, that is an important cornerstone of free loose leave, actually. It is that you try to enjoy nature and the outdoors and in all kinds of weather in every season, and that you actually find something to like in every season. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you have to love love the cold or love the rain. But I think most people, once you actually reframe it and change your mindset, you'll notice that you feel good outside, even when the weather is a bit challenging. And there are days when the best part of going outside is coming back inside. I'm not going to be shy about that. I mean, that's the truth. But I think experiencing those contrasts also, that's part of what makes our lives richer, I think. It makes us appreciate the warmth of home more when we've been outside and on a really, really cold day. It's nice to come inside and warm up and have a hot drink. And, there's just something to that.
We're talking to Linda Ukesson-McGurk. Her new book is The Open Air Life: Discover the Nordic Art of Friluftsliv and Connect with Nature Every Day. Linda, as an American reading your book, the most amazing thing to me was something you got there in Sweden and some of your neighboring countries. If I'm hiking there and I come across private property, I can keep going by law. Can you talk about the priority that your country has placed on access to nature, even if somebody else owns it?
Yes. So we have something called allemansrätten, which means the right to roam. And it's sort of based on this idea that nature is something, or the land is something, that we maintain together, regardless of whose name is on the property deed. So it's something that we all can access. And it's pretty extensive. It goes not only can you walk on private property, you can forage for berries and mushrooms. You can set up camp for a couple of nights without asking a landowner for permission. You can even have a small campfire unless there's a fire ban in place. You can ride a bike most places, ride horses even. Does not apply to like your backyard, right? You can't just like pitch a tent right outside somebody's house. But it does apply to land where there's no dwelling in the immediately nearby. So obviously that gives us a lot of land to access, and it really facilitates an open air life. And it is a pretty unique. And I didn't realize that until I started traveling more and started going places where you encounter, no trespassing signs. Whereas in Sweden, it's actually illegal to put those signs up because most places you can't, like there's no you can't trespass because you have the right to go through other people's property, which I know is an outlandish idea to a lot of Americans. It's very different, but yeah, it's how it is here.
We don't have that here, but we do have parks. And I wanted to ask, one of the people you talk about in your book was someone who had gotten a job for the government, and his job was to find parks in a city that they could close and develop into land. And he started studying who used parks and what they meant for people. What did he find?
Right. He found that people used it, both the elderly and children, and they, the daycares used parks for taking the kids to, and the elderly used them as well. And what amazed him the most was that nobody had really cared to find out. They had just decided to develop these parks and put buildings on them without even recognizing that anybody used them. And that was back in the 80s. And of course, a lot has happened since then. Back then, the whole concept that being in nature is good for our mental health, it was kind of, I wouldn't say non-existent, but it was in its infancy, those thoughts and the research around it. So of course, when he started questioning, you know, well, why are we going to develop these spaces that are actually really meaningful to people, he was able to actually save those parks. They ended up not developing them once this research came through. And that just goes to show that it's a lot, you know, even if we feel in our guts that it is good for us to be outside, a lot of times it takes that research to, you know, we need to have the facts to back it up. And that changed the course of all those parks and the development that could have been. And to this day, those parks are still there. So it was very good for the city.
And leave us with some inspiration about the benefits of free loose leave, of getting outside and enjoying and contemplating and existing in nature.
I mean, there are all the physical benefits of being physically active outside, which free loose leave is about. I mean, look at all the lifestyle diseases today, or the big ones. I mean, we got cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes. Being physically active outside helps prevent all of those, or reduces the risk for all of those, and as well as stress and anxiety. Depression is another huge issue today, and we know that nature is very relaxing and helps us feel good. And so you know, it's just really good for that, for those reasons. But I to me, it's about something else too. And I always say this too, it's about finding joy out there. I think that's just as important. I don't go outside thinking that, oh, you know, today I'm going to go off and like reduce my risk of getting osteoporosis when I'm 70. I go outside because it makes me feel good, and because it's a great way of connecting with your children or your parents, or, you know, across the generational divides. It is just a wonderful meeting place, and to connect with friends as well, especially over, you know, over a meal, over the fire, or going for a walk, you know, whatever you choose to do outside. I think it really helps bring people together, and it helps us connect with the other world as well, the natural world, of which we are an important part, of course, as well.
Linda, thanks for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Linda Åkesson-McGurk, Swedish-American writer and author. I talked with her last week about her latest book. It's called The Open Air Life: Discover the Nordic Art of Friluftsliv and Connect with Nature Every Day.